everybody. This is Buddy Brannon with another Budcast. This is the Budcast, our irregular, or I guess irregularly scheduled, not scheduled, podcast, where I could be talking about pretty much anything. And hello to both of my listeners. Glad to have you here. So I've actually had a request for this one, for this that I do a podcast on this, and so finally I am. Gives me a chance to play a little bit with the recording on the Bookport Plus here that I just got, and to try out the. Actually, I didn't just get it. I got it a couple of weeks ago, and I also recently got the upgraded Sound Professionals binaural microphones. So I'm playing with those too. Of course, this particular podcast doesn't really require that. Could have as easily done it with the built-in mono microphone on the Bookport Plus, but I didn't want to. I wanted to try these out before I took them on the cruise that we'll be going on fairly soon. Anyway, so some people have asked for this, and while there is at least one other podcast that covers this radio, I have been asked a couple of times to do this, so I am. Today we're going to talk about the Oshang dual band handheld radios. They're used quite a bit by hams, although it's not. It wasn't designed as a radio for the amateur market. It was designed for the business band market, and in fact is business band Part 90 type accepted, which doesn't really mean anything to anybody except that what it means is that it can be legally used in land mobile business use. So designed as a commercial radio, it has some kind of quirky things about it that people perhaps may not be used to in the amateur market. But even so, it's been a wildly popular little radio, and probably at least in part, and maybe more than in part, because of its low price. You can find these radios for between $100 and $130 or so, coming with various accessories and so forth. Some dealers sell them and bundle the PC programming cable with them, and things like that. Some dealers just sell the radio straight, and then you buy what accessories you need. Comes out about the same. And the good news is that accessories are very cheap in comparison to what we're used to paying for ham radio accessories. And we can go over that here shortly. There are at least three models of this radio. And in those models, there are several band configurations. You can get VHF, the 2-meter band, and the 220 megahertz band, or you can get the 2-meter band VHF and also the ham radio 440 megahertz band, and actually that's sold in a couple of band configurations for ham use. Either configuration is fine. It's either 350 megahertz to 470 megahertz, which is what I usually get, or 420 megahertz to 520 megahertz. And for our purposes, it doesn't really matter. Below 420 is government use, and above 470, I think there may be some wireless microphones up there between 470 and 500, and there may be some other other things, but I think that was a spectrum formerly occupied by some of the lower numbered UHF TV stations. I think right around 500 megahertz is where that starts, but I would have to look at a table. So really, the upper end of the one and the lower end of the other aren't going to be of much use to most of us. Both radios will cover the business band, GMRS band, and FRS band, although the legal use of this radio in those bands is up for debate. Which is to say, they're not type accepted for those, for GMRS or family radio service, or MERS for that matter. But I'm sure people use them there anyway, just don't do anything stupid there. Anyway, that topic comes up on the Oshang email reflector quite often, as to whether these radios are legal for use in those bands, and on paper, technically, no, they're not. But it still comes up, and like I say, I'm sure people do use them there. They are perfectly legal to use on the ham bands, though, as long as you, of course, have the requisite ham radio license. Okay, so these radios are made by a company in China called Oshang. That's Wouxun, spelled just like it sounds. Oshang, Wouxun. No, really, it's not Woxun or Woxun or anything like that. Woxun? No, it's something like Oshang. Yeah, it's that whole NG thing. I don't know, anyway. And apparently it means, translates loosely as something like European communications or something. Anyway, it's called Oshang. It's in China, and the radio sells, as I said, for between $100 and $130, depending on where you buy it from and what configurations you get and what accessories are thrown in by default. As it happens, I have here. I mentioned there were two or three different model designations. There's the KGUVD1P, the KGUV2D, and the KGUV3D. And for our purposes, the radios are the same. There are minor cosmetic differences. There are minor firmware differences in how things are displayed. For example, I think the KGUV2D lets you save whether channels are displayed by name or number, and the UV3D lets you program in your own power on message, and also comes with the slightly larger battery. But for all intents and purposes, all three radios are more or less the same. As the radios have been in production since 2009. They've gone through a couple of different upgrades, and they've made some changes. And so the latest version of the radio may act slightly different than the version that I use every day that I got back in May of 2010. And I'll talk about that those differences here shortly. Okay, so let's get going with this thing. All right, so as it happens, I have here in my hand a KGUV2D, new in the box, that I purchased for someone else, and that person will be getting it the next time I see him. But I'm sure he won't mind if we play with it a little bit for demonstration purposes. Anyway, I still need to program it up for him and everything too, but anyway, I have here a spanking new one right here in the box. So we're gonna go through unpacking it. We'll go from we'll do everything from unpacking to setting it all up, and whole nine yards. We'll kind of go through that. Okay. So as it happens, I have a KGUV 2D, which I purchased from osheng.us, www.ouxun.us, Ed is a stand-up fellow, and I would highly recommend him for any of these radio purchases. He's a stand-up fella, and his after sales support is second to none. Can't say enough good about him, and he's treated me right. He's everyone that I've referred to him, he's treated right. So no problem. There's the dealer that carries the UV3D is Powerworks, Powerwerx, powerworks.com, another good guy in California. His name's Ken, and again, another stand-up fella. So anyway, I have been purchasing from Ed, and I got this one from Ed. So here we go. Okay, it's a box, no blister packaging here, so we'll open the box. And what we got here is, I'll put this programming cable aside. It doesn't actually come in the box, but I stuck it in the box. So we've got a couple of plastic holder thingies here. The top one has two compartments, one for a battery and one for the radio. And I've actually got a charged battery here. So I'm not going to pull the battery out. I'm just going to take the radio out of the package here. And out of the... It's in a plastic bag, which is in a sort of styrofoam pouch. So they've got it double bagged here, sitting in the plastic tray. All right, so I've got that out. And we'll put the plastic bag back in here. Now, underneath that plastic insert, there's another plastic insert. And you've got a manual and a warranty card as well. And the manual's written in excellent English. I have a document that's perhaps a little easier to understand, and I'll link to that in the podcast notes. And if anyone wants it, just email me and I'll send it to you. So there's the manual, which is difficult reading at best. We have an antenna. Just, standard issue rubber ducky flexible antenna. And there's actually something to say about that here as well. And then there is a power cord and a drop-in battery charger. Battery charger holds the radio and a battery attached, or you can take the battery off and charge it without the radio. Charges in about somewhere... something like 6 to 8 hours, I think closer to 6 than 8. And you just drop it in. There are two little little plastic ridges in the charger that line up with grooves on the battery. So when you drop it in, there's a specific way that it feels when you drop it in that you'll know that it's in. Kind of clicks into place. If you don't feel that click, then it's too far forward. Hard to explain, but once you've done it a time or two, you'll understand what I'm talking about. All right, so we've got the radio out. I'm going to leave the charger and all that stuff here in the box. And I've actually got another antenna that I'm going to stick on it. So we'll leave that there, too. We'll close the box for now. And we will screw an antenna on. Now, The antenna connector does bear some explanation too. This is a lot of handheld radios these days have started using what's called an SMA connector. Back in the days before history, they used BNCs, but several years ago, the radio manufacturers, in their infinite wisdom decided that they would switch over to using these SMA connectors. They're smaller, so they allow you to make a smaller radio, but they're also, my opinion, not quite as sturdy, but they probably make better contact the way that they're set up. Now, this radio, again, being designed primarily for the business band market, does their SMA connectors exactly backwards from the ham radio market radios. Now, you might recognize the SMA because a lot of wireless routers will use an SMA connector, except they use what's called a reverse polarity SMA, which means that the pin is in what is usually the female connector of a standard polarity SMA. Anyway, we'll just leave it at that. Alright, so anyway, Osheng uses the more business band radio standard of putting the male connector on the radio and the female connector on the antenna, where the ham radios do it the opposite way. Now, I think that the way that Osheng does it is better, and I'll tell you why. I have another radio, Kenwood radio, that is fairly popular in the blind ham community, Kenwood THF6, and it's in the standard ham configuration with the SMA female connector on the radio and the male connector on the antenna. In the time that I've had it, I have broken the body of the connector on the radio twice. Once, I can't remember if I over-tightened it or if I... Anyway, something happened to it and it broke. The other time, I actually... Don't laugh, I couldn't have made this up if I wanted to, but I actually accidentally sat on the radio and it had a long antenna on it and the connector just went snap. And that was all she wrote and I had to get it replaced again. This way, with the male connector on the radio, if anything breaks, you can probably just unscrew the female part and you're more likely to just be able to pick right back up and go. Okay, so we've got an antenna on this thing, and we've spoken at some length about the antenna connector. Now, I have a battery here, and the radio also comes with a wrist strap. There's a wrist strap in that box somewhere, too. The wrist strap just threads through the belt clip, which is on the back of the battery. The belt clip is just a plastic belt clip. It just clips in. There's a little retainer clip in the back of the belt clip that sort of locks it into place. Looks like a fairly sturdy belt clip. I haven't had it fall off of my belt ever. And I'm going to pause this and answer the phone. Alright, so we're back. We're talking about the battery and the belt clip. Like I said, it's a sturdy belt clip. I haven't had any problem with mine. And it just snaps to the back of the battery. So each battery has a belt clip. Okay, so first thing we have to do is we have to put the battery on. It's a fairly straightforward thing. Now, the battery has a latch on either side of it towards the top of the battery. The latch on the left and latch on the right. So what you do, to put the battery on, you sort of line the bottom of the battery up with the bottom of the radio, and there's some little grooves that it fits in, and then you just sort of push the radio and the battery together at the top. It snaps together like that, and there you are. Okay, so we've got a radio with a battery on it. And this battery, the battery life on this thing's phenomenal. comes with a 1300 milliamp hour battery, which some radios come with a larger battery, but I'll tell you what, I have had extremely good battery life out of this thing. Very pleased with that. So the battery's on, and by the way, extra batteries, even if you may not ever need one, are very cheap. They're like $24 a piece, something like that. You can also get a battery shell that holds five AA sized batteries. Yes, five, and that's like $8 or $12. And they make a thing with a cigarette lighter plug on it, so you can plug it into your car, and other different accessories. So, all right. So we have a radio. We have a radio with an antenna and a battery on it. So let's talk about the radio, how it's put together. Okay, so at the top of the radio, from left to right, you have, of course, the antenna screwed on. And then to the right of the antenna is a sort of a channel selector knob. And to the right of that is the on-off and volume knob. Now, in front of all those, there are some LED indicators, and like one of them is like a flashlight, and then there's a, you know, busy indicator or something like that. I don't know what they are. They don't really matter much to me. So that's the top of the radio. On the left side of the radio, of course, there's a push-to-talk button, or as some would say, the release-to-listen button that you press to talk, obviously. And then below that is a programmable little button. It's round, little round button. It's programmable. You can either turn the light on, or it can turn the FM radio on. This thing comes with an FM radio, and the FM radio is okay. You know, what do you want? Receives the FM broadcast band, and then so you can program that button to either bring that up, or scan, or turn the light on, or send out an SOS siren, which I haven't heard, so I don't know if it's worthwhile. But below that is a button that's called monitor, and it also, if you just press it, I believe it just turns on the LED flashlight thing too. But if you hold it in, it'll open the radio squelch so that you can hear what it's doing or not doing, like what if there's a signal on and you're not hearing it because you have a tone squelch on, it'll open the squelch, or if there's no signal, it'll just make static noises at you. Behind all those buttons, of course, is the battery latch, the left battery latch. To remove the battery, you have to push down the left and the right battery latches, because there's one right across on the right. Now, on the right side of the radio is just, I say, the battery latch, and in front of that, there's a cover that you pull up with your thumbnail and sort of rotate out of the way, and what you got under that cover is the jacks to plug in a speaker microphone, or to plug in the programming cable to program this with the computer. Now, the programming software is not very screen reader friendly. You can use it, but it's not easy, not exactly intuitive, because things don't read right, and you have to start by moving the mouse pointer to the first channel to program and click it, and then you can tab through, but it still doesn't read the column headings correctly, so it's a little tricky, but it's doable once you figure it out. But we're not going to talk about the computer software today. We're not going to program with the computer software. We're going to program it from the front panel. So let's get to doing that. Turn the radio on.
Frequency mode.
And there you go. It says frequency mode, which means that it's in what we would normally call VFO mode, but frequency mode's accurate enough. Basically, it just means that you can punch in a frequency and it'll go there. The other mode that it has is channel mode, which is basically where you dial through the program memory channels, and it has 128 of those that it shares between both bands. So 128 channels, any combination of VHF and UHF frequencies. All right, so there are some things that we need to sort of go over, and some things that have changed. For example, this radio has dual receive, although it's not exactly dual receive, it's like dual watch. In other words, it listens to two frequencies at once, but it will only play audio from one of them. So whichever one gets audio first is the one that captures it and the one that you'll hear. And for that reason, I recommend turning the dual function off. By default, it's on. I actually pulled this thing out of the box one other time, so I can't remember how I left it. So let's see. Let me just find out real quick. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to describe the front panel, because we didn't finish that. Okay, so the top of the radio, of course, is the speaker, and the microphone is in the speaker somewhere above the keypad. Small hole there in that general area, so it's a speaker. It's a pretty good size speaker, and it sounds pretty good. There you go. All right, below the speaker, there are two buttons off by themselves. One's labeled AB, and the other, that's on the left. On the right is the button labeled TDR. Now, the AB button switches between the two bands. And the two bands are basically just, you know, so you have a frequency in one, frequency in the other, so that you can have the dual watch thing on. And they're not, and you can have it listening to two UHF channels or two VHF channels or one of each. I recommend using the A and B bands just for keeping the repeater offsets for VHF and UHF separate. So there's that. And then the TDR button on the right, if you press it, it toggles between the dual and single receive mode. If you're transmitting and you press it, it'll toggle the power high and low. So there's that. And then below those two buttons is the LCD display. And below the LCD display is the main keypad, which is four buttons down by four buttons across. Now, in that configuration, you would think that it would be a keypad layout that goes 1, 2, 3, and then A, 4, 5, 6, B, and 7, 8, 9, C, and star, pound, 0, pound, and D. A, B, C, D digits being the extra DTMF digits that most keypads don't have. This one does. But if you thought that, you would be mistaken. This keypad has A, B, C, D at the top, and then 1, 2, 3, star, 4, 5, 6, 0, 7, 8, 9, pound. And the A, B, C, D buttons, when you're not transmitting, the A button top left is menu, and then channel up, channel down, and clear. And then below that is 1, 2, 3, and the reverse key, 4, 5, 6, 0, 7, 8, 9, and then the lock key as well at the bottom, which is a pound. Okay, so that's basically how this thing's laid out. Okay, so programming. This is what people are really, really keen on. And one kind of interesting thing about this radio is that it does have limited speech feedback of what you're doing with it. Unfortunately, it's very limited and doesn't read everything. The good news is that everything is accessible from the keypad numerically, so you don't have to count clicks of the channel knob or anything like that. You don't have to worry about the menus wrapping. You can just punch numbers in. And my Eyes Free manual for this radio lists all the menu functions and all the CTCSS codes and DCS codes and all that stuff is all listed there, so it's all right there, so you can refer to it if you need to. Now, to program this, there are some things that we should do to make it easier. The first thing that I want to do, though, is to see exactly what these new radios do when you turn them off. I already know that where my instructions used to say that it didn't remember the state of the TDR button, the new ones do. So like if you turn the dual receive off and then turn radio off, it'll remember that dual receive is supposed to be off, so you don't have to change that every time. One thing that I want to check is whether it always puts you on band A when you turn it off now, like mine does, or whether when you turn it off it powers up on the last band you're on. So let's check that out. I'm going to press the AB button to put it on band B. And there's the weather. Okay. And I'm going to turn it off. Now I have the weather in the B band, and I think I have my repeater in the A band, and I've got the dual off. So I turned it off with the B band as active. So I'm going to turn it back on, and if we hear the weather, then we'll know that that this radio does not, or this radio doesn't power up with band A as active. It'll power up on whichever band you last left it on. So let's turn it back on. And there's band B. So, unfortunately for us, we don't have a starting reference point quite as we did with the older version of this radio, but that's not a huge deal. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to set this up with the dual turned off, and I'm back on band A. I press the AB button, I'm back on band A. This radio is only set up for ham band transmit. It can be easily opened up to expand the transmit with some software, but we're not going to go into that. So what I'm going to do is set up my VHF and UHF repeater offsets. 2 meter repeater offset is 600 kilohertz. So what I'm going to do here, we're going to set that up, and the offset amount is in memory number 23. So I'm going to press menu number 23. So I'm going to press the menu button.
Function select.
There it is, and I'm going to type in 23 and press the menu button
frequency
again.
Select.
Said frequency select. Now, I did that on purpose, sort of. If you wait more than a couple of seconds, it'll drop you out of the menus and you have to start over. You heard the three short beeps. That means that that means that the current function is canceled. So you have to start over. So on menu 23, I'm going to just talk about it for a second and then do it. But on menu 23, the offset amount, it'll say frequency select. Now, the offset amount is between 0 and 60,000 kilohertz. So for a 600 kilohertz offset, I'm going to type 00600, and that'll set that up, that offset up in band A. So I'm going to press menu 23, frequency select, and I'm going to type in 00600,
enter,
and hit the menu button again. It said enter. So I've got the, and there it went beep beep, so I'm out of the menus again. Now, that that has the 2 meter band offset in band A. So that means that every time that I want to program in VHF channels, I'm going to do that with band A, just arbitrarily. But it makes things a little easier. Okay, so now I'm going to go to band B. And I'm going to change this frequency to 440.000 to get rid of the weather woman. And now I'm on band B, and we're going to set up the UHF split, which is 5 megahertz. So I'm going to, again, do menu, 23, menu, 05000, menu, and say enter. And so I've got my UHF channel split set up for between transmit and receive. Now, this radio comes with channel 1 and channel 2 programmed in with arbitrary frequencies. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to band A, and I'm going to delete channel 1 and channel 2. Well, I'm going to delete channel 1. I'm going to delete channel 1, and then I'm going to reprogram channel 1 with our local club repeater, which is on 2 meters, so that's why we're using band A. It's on 146.61. It has a CTCSS tone, access tone of a 186.2, and it has a negative offset, meaning that the transmit, that you transmit to the repeater 600 kilohertz lower than you listen to it on. So this is actually pretty easy. We're going to put it in. We're going to put it in here. So we're going to put in 146.610. Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to first be sure. When this radio comes out of the box, it's set to a weird channel spacing, and we need, for North American band plan, we need to be sure it's on a 5 kHz channel spacing and not the 12.5. So we need to change that, and that's in menu 1. So I'm going to press menu 1, step frequency, and I'm going to press 0, because, and then the menu button again, and it's 0. The menus start with 0, not 1, which is a little odd. But there it is. But 5 kilohertz is the first option on that menu for the step size, frequency step, channel step size. So, okay, so now that's set to the correct amount, correct value. And I'm actually going to do that with band B as well, just to be sure. Okay, so now we won't have ourselves on odd channels for some reason. Okay, so as I said, we're going to program in the club repeater, which is 146.61. So we would put in 146.610. There it is. And it has a negative offset. So we've already got the offset amount set on here, so we just need to set the direction, which is minus, which is number 2. 0 is simplex, 1 is a plus offset, 2 is a minus offset. So we're going to press menu,
function select,
and then 24, menu,
frequency, direction,
2,
enter,
menu. Okay, so we've got the offset, and now we need to transmit. We need to send a tone of 186.2 to this repeater to access it, and I happen to know that that's number 36 on that menu, and it's menu 16 for the tone transmit. So I'm going to press menu. I want menu number 16, and we're going to want number 36 on that menu, and there it is. Aha! Now you see there? I did something wrong. I messed it up. So maybe I accidentally put the 6-1 repeater on band B, because it's going beep at me because I'm out of band. So let's press the band button. And again.
146.610. Function select. Frequency direction. Enter. Frequency direction, enter.
And then we'll go menu 16, number 36.
Enter.
And I should have...
W3.
There it is.
V repeater. PL186.2. The time is 6:46 p.m.
Okay, now I want to put this in memory channel number 1, but memory channel number 1 has something in it. And if I program this in, it'll program it in wrong. So I need to clear channel 1 first, which is memory 28, or menu 28. So I'll press menu 28,
channel
delete 001.
Enter.
And then I want to program in channel 1 with the contents of band B. So that's memory 27. And again, all of these are in the eyes-free document, so I understand that I'm going through them quite quickly, but they're all in the document, so you can look it up and follow along that way. So we're going to go menu
function
27, channel memory 001, and because I know you didn't understand that, because I didn't either, it said receiving memory. And that's important because you can program channels with odd splits too. You just program the channel twice essentially, and I'll show you that in a second. Now remember, like I said, channel 1 and channel 2 have things in them, so we're going to also remove channel 2. Now I'm going to program into channel 2 442.15, which has a plus offset of 5 megahertz and a 186.2 tone. All of our repeaters around here are 186.2. So we're going to go back to band B, and we're going to put in 442.150.
442.150.
And we're going to go plus offset, which is menu number 24, option 1. One for plus, and actually I've already got a 186.2 tone in here from the last time. And there it is. I should talk about the power setting, the power level. The power level is menu 4, 0 is low, 1 is high, and I'm going to put this on low. So we're going to go menu 4, 0,
enter.
And so now it's on low. And this is KB5 ELV. And we're connected to somebody, probably Hugo. Okay, so we're going to program this into memory 2, but again, remember that memory 2 has something in it right now, so we need to clear it. So we're going to go menu 28,
channel delete
002,
enter.
And now we can program this 442.15 into memory 2.
Function select.
Memory 27,
channel memory.
002. And there it is. Now with offset direction, memory 0 is simplex, or receive and transmit on the same channel. So we're going to put 146.52 simplex in with no tone in memory 3. So we're going to go 146.52. Oh, hold on. Actually, I'm going to cancel that because I'm... Just for the sake of consistency, I want to go back to band A, even though it doesn't really matter, because simplex is simplex. But I'm going to go back to band A, which is my VHF band, and I'm going to press 146.520, and we're going to go frequency direction 0, which is simplex. Which is memory 24.
Frequency direction. Enter.
And we're going to turn off We're going to turn off the CTCSS code because we don't need to transmit one. So we're going to go memory or menu 16 00 because there is no tone, and we're going to put this on high power. So we're going to go to menu 4, power level 1, which is high. And we're going to put this in channel 3. Now, channel 3 doesn't have anything in it, so we can just program that right off.
Function select channel memory
003. And there it is. Now, I put in all three digits for the memory, and it's a good habit to get into because since the memories are, there are 128 of them, they can have it up to a 3-digit memory number. By the way, you don't have to program these in sequentially. For example, let me go to our weather frequency, which is 162.40, and I'm going to put that in memory number 128. Now, so I would put in 162.400. See, there's the weather.
Let's turn him down.
And we're going to put that in channel 128. We don't need to do anything with offsets or tones or anything. We just can go right to putting it in. So we'll go menu 27, menu 128, and there it is. Okay. So we're going to get rid of him for the time being. And I'm back on band A. Or actually band B. Back on band B. So let's go back to A, and I'm going to put in 146.52 just to shut the weather up. 146.520. There it is. Okay. Now, let's pretend we live in Los Angeles and we want to listen to the Foul-Mouthed Idiots on 147.435. The only reason we want to pretend that is because we want to show you how to program an odd split. Theirs is decidedly odd because rather than being 600 kilohertz up or 600 kilohertz down, their input frequency is 146.400, which is 1.035 megahertz down. Fortunately, we don't have to actually change our offset value to that. We could if we wanted to, I suppose, but it doesn't make sense to. So we're going to put that in channel 28, and it doesn't have a tone. At least we're going to pretend it doesn't. So, and this is why if you're going to program a memory, you better, or if you're going to reprogram a memory, you'd better clear it first. So you want to put in, we're going to put in the output of the repeater again, which is 147.435. That's where we are, and we're going to program that into memory channel number 20.
Function select channel memory. Memory.
And there it is. Now, to program in the transmit memory, we go through the exact same steps. We put in the frequency, and then we program memory number 20. So we'll put in 146.400. Going to go to option 27, and we're going to put in 020, and you heard her say transmitting memory. So we've got a strange split programmed in there now, in channel 20. so there you go. One other thing that we should know how to do is to actually get into memory channel mode, and it's very easy. You push the menu button followed by the TDR button, and that will put it into channel mode. So we'll press that now.
Function select channel mode
1. So it's channel mode 1. And if you spin the knob on the top for the channel select, it'll go 1,
2,
2,
3,
20,
128,
N128.
Weather radio KEC58 originating from the National Weather Service.
And then back to one. Now, one other thing you should know is that you, once you program a memory, you can't really modify it. So you probably want to decide what power level you want by default, because you can't change it. You can change it temporarily by transmitting and pressing TDR to go to the other power level. But you can't change it. You can't change the memory once it's programmed, really, unless you go into dealer mode. And I'm not really going to go into dealer mode on this podcast. It's we talk about it a little bit in the ice-free documentation, but I'm not going to go into it right now. You know, it's probably a good idea to just go ahead and reprogram the whole memory. Just delete the memory and then redo it if you need to change it. That's the basics of this radio. It'll scan. It scans slowly. If you hold down the lock key, it'll lock the keypad, but you can still transmit. When it used to actually say lock, but it doesn't anymore. And then if you hold it down... Oh, there it said lock. But it said lock when it unlocked. Oh. What did I do? Okay. So you hold it down to lock and unlock. I don't know why it wasn't locking at first, but... Oh, and, it'll also transmit a 1750 Hz tone in case you're in Europe by holding down the programmable function key while you're transmitting, I think. That's just sort of the basics on this radio. You can get a few more details from the ice-free manual. Of course, if you have any other questions about it, you can feel free to get in touch with me. You can follow me on Twitter at B Brannan. That's B-B-R-A-N-N-A-N. You can email me at buddy@brannan.name. B-U-D-D-Y at B-R-A-N-N-A-N dot N-A-M-E. Yes, really. And you can, of course, leave comments on the blog if you want to. Oh, and there's local activity on the repeater. Okay, so we'll turn that off, and I'll pack this back up nicely, just like I found it. And there we go. That's the basics on the KGUVD2 and KGUVD1P and others of the Osheng brand. So, again, if you have any questions, absolutely feel free to get in touch. And we'll be catching y'all on another Budcast. I hope to be doing some sound seeing tours from the cruise ship. All right, it was great, and keep those cards and letters coming, all right? Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next time. Yeah.